No perfect dads in the house, but you know what? Where do we go from here? We follow the Lord, don't we? We follow the Lord. And in that, there are so many promises and so many good things that there really isn't a legitimate reason to feel down and discouraged as a dad. The world can be falling apart. Nothing can be working. But if you're following God, you have promises to get you through as an anchor for your soul. Amen? So let's dismiss our kids to class today. Give them a round of applause. Thank you. It is so good to have kids. It was weird. This was the first year where all of our kids were at camp, and Petraea and I got a little taste of what it's going to be like when all the kids are gone, and we loved it. I mean, they asked us if it was like weird, and we were like, yeah. And then we had to be quiet because we knew everything else would be just an exaggeration of what we think they want to hear. We loved it. We partied with the Matheses. We went and did some scavenger hunts. We ate good food. It was just wonderful. And and we realized that the house is a lot quieter. It's amazing how quiet it is with all the kids gone. As we get ready for just what the Lord's put on my heart today, there's a couple things that have been stirring. And in all honesty, I had one message prepared, and I felt like the Lord kind of gave me a different direction this morning. So out of sensitivity to that, I'm going to try and share with you what the Lord put on my heart this morning. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4:14, and this will be the key scripture for today. And then I'll talk for a couple minutes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, my Bible reads it in this way. It says, I don't write these things to shame you, but to admonish. To admonish. It literally means to put into your mind. So that you as my beloved children, for if you were to have countless tutors or babysitters, that's a great translation for that word. It doesn't mean teacher in the truest sense. It literally means children tenders. And you may have many babysitters in Christ, but you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you to be imitators, followers of me. I don't write these things to embarrass or shame you, but to admonish, to put something in your mind, because I want you to have someone to follow. This is a great way to think about fathers and Father's Day's message. And so I just want to pray, Father God, you are the one that we all follow. The minute we've realized, the minute our eyes are open to all that you've done for us, we can't help but give you our life and follow you as our Lord, our Savior, our Heavenly Father. And so we imitate you, and we want to imitate you. And this morning, Holy Spirit, fill my heart, fill my mouth with the words that need to be shared today. Use me as a mouthpiece. Speak to all of our hearts today a message about these words here. In your name we pray, amen. I guess dads, I don't know everybody's dad. I don't know some of your dads and the examples that they had. You know, I have a pretty good dad. He's not perfect, but he's pretty good. You might have an amazing dad. All of my kids, they just have the best dad in the world. I pay them to say that so that they don't embarrass me as pastor. But you might feel you're a great dad. You may feel you're a subpar dad. I don't care. I don't know. I don't know your background. I can't address everything. I just know this. You're either going to be a great dad or you're going to be a really lousy dad and anything in between there. That's how big the spectrum is. Dads can be horrible. They can be missing in action, can't they? We may not even know our dads. And I look at this and I think, there are so many stories and examples of dads. I came across one, and it was a dad who was, I guess I just wish I could be like this dad. A very successful lawyer around the time of the 1800s wrote in his journals about his dad. At one Christmas celebration, his dad gave him a gift, and his gift was an hour a day. An hour a day. He said, for this next year, you will have an hour each day with me that you get to determine whatever we'll do. Every day, 365 hours over the course of the year, guaranteed, it's a new appointment. Every single day, right after supper, you have one full hour. I'll go wherever you want me to go. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can do whatever you want to do, but that hour is your hour, and it will not be interfered with in any way. And he followed through with that, and he said, out of all of the gifts I've ever received from anyone in my life, that was the most wonderful gift I could have ever had. And I look at that and I think, well, wow. Do you know that the average father spends less than 5 minutes a day with their kid? That's right now. That's if the father is actually in the life. But the biological father, they spend less than 5 minutes a day with their kids on average. That's a very low. I think everyone in here is probably above average, but that's the average. I heard another story, and this was a very, very successful businessman in New York. After he passed away, his son, who always looked up to him and always felt like his dad did the best he could with the time that he had, and every time that they got together, it was like, boy, it was just really, really cherished. He wasn't like the first dad I just gave you a description of, where you get an hour every day. This dad, if he was in town and if he wasn't overseas doing a business trip or this or that, you know, he might be able to schedule in, pencil in his son, and they might meet for a couple minutes here or there. But every second with his dad, he just looked forward to it. Just look forward to it. And he felt like his dad always valued him in the same way. Well, after his dad passed away, he was in his office going through some things, and he found on his day planner, he looked back, and on a particular time in the last year, he came and he spent one full day with his dad. And he wanted to see what his dad had written in that day. He looked around, found the day, because he remembered it so fondly. And when he found the day, he was shocked to see what his dad had noted in there. He said, business venture failed. I had nothing to do but blow the day, wasted away. He literally said he wasted the day because what he had planned to do fell through. His son only read one section of that. The day was wasted. His dad never told him that, never explained that to him, but he saw in that little notation in the calendar that his dad had no real value of their time together. And so there in my mind, those are just two simple, maybe poor examples of the extremes that we can have. You can have a father on one hand that sacrifices everything and is so consistent and so trusted to be there and show up all the time. Or you could have the other dad who's barely there and views the time he has to spend with you as a waste. And I look at that and I think, why is this even a point to bring up right now? I'll tell you why. Because fathers have a divine purpose, and that is to speak the promises of God into the lives of the next generation. How we either take advantage of that or miss it, it plays all kinds of roles. Now, let me give you something else, and I thought about this right before I came up. Some may never meet their biological father. And in those instances, who is the father to speak the purposes and the promises of God into that kid's life? God, our Heavenly Father. He becomes a father to the fatherless. He becomes a father to those who never have that awesome experience of whatever we imagine is the awesome dad. So on any degree, you always have the fail-safe. Your Heavenly Father will speak His purposes and promises into your life, and you can hold on to those. The promises of God change your life. Fathers are meant to speak those promises into your life, but sometimes they fail. but God, our Heavenly Father. His word is so true, and it is right here, always accessible. You can open it up and read Jeremiah 29:11. Your Heavenly Father has plans for your life. Read those. They're good plans. No earthly parent can really come close to comparing to what that Heavenly Father can speak into your life. But I'll tell you why when I read that 1 Corinthians 4:14, and when it says that word, it says, I don't write these things to shame you, but to admonish you, because you're my children. This is an apostle in the church that's saying to church folk, I am a spiritual father to you, and I want to put something into your mind. That's what parents do. That's what dads do. They can either put you're valued and here are thoughts and plans that God has for you, or they can say, I don't value you, and you can fill in the blanks on your own. But God has, I guess, set us up so that spiritual fathers and earthly fathers can speak and put things into the minds of those that are going to come after them. My hope today is that I would remind you today. I would admonish you as kind of a spiritual father. I'm not your father. Some of you are twice my age. Some of you, I'm definitely not your dad. You don't look anything like me. You know, it's one of those things. But you know what? In the spirit, if you're here this morning and you're listening to the words of God that I'm sharing, you can be edified by them. You can be admonished. And so that's my prayer for you. Let me remind you of what we've done over these last few weeks. I've been talking about promises. What are promises? These are the words of God that He has said He will fulfill, that He will accomplish. And so you need to remember, Romans 4:20 says that you cannot waver regarding the promises of God. Be strengthened in your faith. Give glory to God. Here's verse 21. Be fully persuaded that God has power to do what He has promised. I'm here today to remind you, as a spiritual dad, God is able. Don't forget it. No matter where you go in life, no matter where you have been and where you're at right now, you have to be reminded, God is able. You're not able, God is able. If you remember that whole thought, then just say yes and amen to it. God is able. Do you believe that? As a spiritual father, I might have to do some more work. I might have to admonish you a little bit more. In fact, I'm going to make this my promise to you. I am going to remind you and put into your brain every chance I get, God is able. The minute I hear you as a kid in God's kingdom go, I don't know, and I hear the seeds of doubt, I'm going to go, God is able. And when I hear the big but, I'm going to say, throw it out. God is able. But Pat, God is able. But are you sure? God is able. And then you go, all right, I'm going to be quiet. That's right. Because if you don't have anything good to put in your brain, don't put it in there. Just listen to me. I will tell you, God is able. And so that was the first big thing that I talked about, the promises of God. And then right after that, this is the next idea. The next idea comes from Isaiah 55:11. God's word will accomplish what He's designed it to accomplish. And this is important because the promises of God will in your life will have opposition to them. So as a dad, you have to remind children. You have to remind them, don't give up. It'll work. It'll turn out good. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story about how this worked with me and Chloe. Chloe wanted to ride a bicycle one time. I don't know what really inspired this, but she just got it in her head. She was ready to ride a bike. And so had this really cool bike with training wheels. And being the good dad that I was, I took her down to the park and we rode all the way down there and she's like doing this. And I don't know if you can fall off a bike with training wheels, but she can. It was amazing. But she got down to the park and she was feeling, you know, pretty good. And so I wanted her to experience a little bit of testing of her abilities, you know, a little bit of opposition. Maybe give her some confidence. So I took her to the top of a grassy hill. I need to know where this is going. Do you remember this, Chloe? We were down there at this little park, and she's there. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Ready? And then we're like, let's go. And I give her a little push, and she starts off so nice and just gains momentum quicker than any of us could have imagined. And then that little, I don't even know how big those wheels are. They're so small, you know, maybe what, 12 inches or something like that. That bike is doing this, gaining speed, and the next thing you know, you see her start to wobble. And I'm like, hey, look at that wobble, wobble, whoa, and it gets big and big. And then I'm like, uh-oh, I didn't think this through. That's the first thing that went through my head. I didn't think this through. The second thing was Petraea is going to kill me. And I really didn't even think about what was about to happen to my daughter. I was thinking about what was going to happen to me when Petraea found out what I did to her daughter. And so she goes down that hill, and then next thing that wobble turns to something else, and then she does the over the handlebars and down improvement. And then I'm running down the hill, and I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a bad dad, you know. I pick her up. She's got grass stains on her face. And there's little scrapes everywhere. And I hold her. And, you know, it's just like a little puppy when they're little. They don't ask, you know, if they should love you. They just love you. She should have went like, don't touch me, scary man. She let me pick her up and hold her. I was like, I'm so sorry, baby. I didn't mean to do that. And all the tears and stuff. And then we take the bike home. And I lied and told her that I don't know what happened. Petraea, she fell or something, you know. I don't know. I told her, you can't deny it. Grass stains on the face are hard to deny. But I look at this, and you know, she can ride a bike today. In spite of me, she can ride a bike today. That's because along the process of bike riding, she had to learn to not give up and to persevere, even if she was led astray by dad, you know, and all this other stuff, so that she could ride a bike. Now, I'm not going to say she rides a bike awesome, but she can ride a bike, okay? She can ride a bike. She avoids hills. She doesn't even know why. Now she does know why. It's kind of a, you know, psychoanalyst. That's why you avoid hills. But, you know, spiritually, this is the reality. The promises of God, everything we hope for, someone in our life has to remind us to not give up and to persevere. If you want to experience the joy of that promise, a father is often the one designed to be right there in the background saying, don't give up. Keep doing it. It's not necessarily the moms that do that. They can and they do. But the dads a unique calling. I tell you, there's something special about a dad. They just, I don't know, inspire courage. They inspire risk taking. And it's, I don't know why, but I'm the one in the family. Like the other day, I convinced all of the kids, let's go look at the sky on the roof of the house. I know, I'm the weird. You gotta imagine what my neighbors think of us. They watch. They just sit at the windows and go, hey, they're doing something else crazy, you know? And, you know, so we just sit up there and watch it. And, you know, Petraea doesn't do that stuff. She doesn't, like, think that. I do. I'm messed up like that. I'm the one that takes them out and try crazy stuff and does those. She's there with the Band-Aids and the hugs and the cookies and the lovey-dovey stuff. And I'm the one that gets them in trouble. That's the way God's designed my household. Now, spiritually, a lot of what I do on Sundays is church folks come together, and then I stand before you and I say, go out and do it. Try it. Keep on. Witness. Try the word of God out. Pray that prayer. Do that thing. I don't know if it's going to work out. I just know that in the long run, God will prove his promise true. You may fall once, but you're going to get back up and you're going to succeed. And in the long haul, you're going to have a testimony. I know this. So, as dad, the first thing, God is able. The second thing I remind you is don't give up when there's opposition. God's word will produce fruit in your life. So keep praying. Keep pressing on. Even though you get discouraged and you fall down. You get that? Say amen. 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 That's what dads do. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:20, we went through this point. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So this means that we must firmly plant that word of God in our heart and guard against anything from stealing it. Do you know what a dad does? Remind you of the things that you need to know in your life and never forget. Shut the light off. Shut the light off. Before you leave the room, shut the light off. Things like that. Clean up your room. Or my favorite is, have you checked your oil? Now, where's that, Dad? What's that? That's a good, check the oil. You know, and then I have had to tell my oldest, who's not here, she's in Sri Lanka and doing awesome right now. And you know, I've had to tell her, I was like, if your car makes an unknown noise, remember to tell me. Please remember to tell me. So every now and then, I drive her car so that I can just double check if she actually remembered to tell me something. And you know, she has told me, hey, Dad, suddenly it makes this noise. I'm like, what is that? Let's go find out. And I might call Bob and ask Bob, what in the world is that? You know, or, you know, but it's so good. A dad reminds kids. It reminds that next generation of what to do. Don't spend all your money in one place. Why, Dad? Because I'm not going to support you when you're 35. Stuff like that. And even though you're 9 years old, I'm teaching you now. Don't spend all your money in one place. Haven't you ever done that? I remember the first time that I blew all my money at the little five and dime down the street from us. It was just an awesome little store, and you could go in and buy all the candy that you want. I only had a little bit of money I'd get whenever I do work, and then I would go blow it all. I had no self-control. I have a little more self-control now, but it's growing. It's growing. Now Petraea is reminding me, self-control, self-control, self-control. But you know, it's funny how my dad was the one that said, don't do it. And then when I got sick from eating all the candy that I blew all my money on, he goes, yeah, see what I told you? You didn't tell me I'd get sick if I ate the candy. No, I told you not to spend all your money on the candy. You didn't listen to me then, and you deserve to feel sick. And I was like, all right, Dad, I won't do it. I learned these lessons because someone in my life is called a father and reminds me, puts it in my mind over and over again. You know, and that's what I do spiritually. You know how often a pastor says things like, what's the Bible say about that? Why do I have to say something so elementary like, well, what's the Bible say about that? What's God say about that? Well, what has the Lord been speaking to you? I have so many ways of saying or asking the exact same question. Well, what's the Bible talk about that? And you know, the most often response I get is, I'm like, well, what do you remember? And then you could just see the wheels turning. They're going back and they're thinking about this or that. And sometimes the verses that they remember have no bearing or context to it whatsoever. And I go, okay, well, we need to go back. How about you look in the Bible? Why don't you read your word? Why don't you? Okay, well, is there another answer? No, you don't need another answer. Go to the Bible. Is it really that simple? Yes, it's that simple. That's part of what I have to do. Remind you to do the same things over and over again. What about prayer? Oh, I know I should pray. Okay, knowing you should pray is not the same thing as praying. Well, let me say it differently. Having someone else pray for you isn't the same as you praying. Oh, but Pastor, I just don't know how I could do this. Will you pray for me? Yes, I will definitely pray for you. But have you prayed? Well, I don't know how to. Yeah, it's easy. Just use your mouth. Use your mouth. Go to a quiet place. Shut the door. Kick the kids out. You know, whatever it may be. Shut the door and just start talking. And who cares what it sounds like? It's just you and God. But pray. By all means, pray. I remember when I was little, we were in a church in Oklahoma. I've told this story because I just love it. This is elementary prayer. I love it. This one kid, he was his dad and his mom was a prostitute. His dad was a drunk. He was literally raised in a chicken coop. Yeah, that was his bedroom. Lived in a chicken coop with chickens. There was chickens in there. That's chicken poo. chicken poo was in his bedroom. This is horrible. But this kid grew up, horrible, horrible beginnings. And at some point in his life, he was in his 20s, he gets saved. He can't hardly speak an intelligent word or sentence and just totally messed up. What can God do with a kid like this? He can do anything because his promises are true. But he had to have a father who taught him and reminded him and put things into his mind. And so one of the spiritual fathers in his life said, whenever you need something, you pray. You call out to the Lord because the word says, when you cry out to God, he will hear you and answer. And so that young man had to hear that. And so for the first time in his life, he had to do something he'd never done before, fly on a plane. Fly on a plane because someone in the family, an extended relative, passed away, and then they paid for him to come and be a part of that and meet all the relatives and everything like that. Never flown on a plane before, and he was nervous, and he asked the pastor, he says, what do I do? And he says, hey, same thing I told you before. Whenever you need something, just pray. Just cry out to God, and he will hear you and answer. That's what the father was putting in his mind. And then after the trip, he sees this guy, he's in the church, he's just lit up, face is bright, smiling from ear to ear, comes up to the pastor and he goes, Pastor, it worked. He's like, what worked? Praying worked. It worked. We was up in the airplane and it was going to crash. The plane was going to crash. He no doubt just hit some turbulence, you know, all that scary. If you've been through hard turbulence, it is a little scary, you know. But none of the little things dropped out of the ceiling, none of the oxygen masks or stuff. So it wasn't that bad. It was just everyday turbulence. And he says, the plane was going to crash. People are grabbing the things. And he goes, and then I remembered what you told me. Pray. And so I closed my eyes and I shouted at the top of my lungs, oh God, don't let this SOB come down. He didn't use text quotes either. He said the whole thing. And he goes, and guess what? It didn't come down. I was like, yeah, God will even take a prayer like that, won't he? He'll even take a prayer like that from a baby Christian, and he'll listen to the prayers. But a father had to speak and put something into that mind and say, you need to know this. Pray. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Hold on to those promises. You know, and then last week what we talked about is this. You know, a father provides all kinds of things. I remember the first time I realized that money just didn't appear. We were at some store, and I asked for something. I was probably around 7, 8. That's how slow I was. Maybe kids learned this earlier. Around 7 or 8. I wanted something, and my mom said, no, you can't have it. We don't have the money for it. I looked at her kind of perplexed, like, what do you mean? Well, mom, get out that thing, the checkbook, and just write a check for it. That's what you do. Just write a check for it. And she's like, honey, you don't understand. The check represents what money's in the bank. I don't have money for that in the bank, so no. And I'm like, just write a check for it. Just put the numbers down, whatever you want. Just write it out. And then I realized money doesn't grow on trees. I began to realize that more and more in my life. That, I mean, you just can't create it. But I was never worried when I was a kid about if I was going to have what I needed. All I worried about when I was a kid was if I could have enough fun playing in a creek. I played in the creek all the time. I had all my friends. I had stuff that I created. We had wars and we played outside. This was before internet. This is before cell phones. This is before all those things. I didn't even have an Atari. I mean, I only had what I created and all the trash that I inherited and stuff like that. So I just played in the woods and did all of that. And never did I once worry about if I was going to be provided for. But that was because I had a father who provided. That was my story. Not everybody gets that story. So let me give you this failsafe. God is the Heavenly Father. Every one of us needs to know this. And as a spiritual leader, I have to remind you, put this in your mind over and over again. Never forget that in God, you will have everything you need for life and godliness. You've got to remember this because 2 Peter 1:3 says, in his divine power, His divine power. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He is our Heavenly Father. I told Petraea we were talking about God and promises of God. And have you ever just stopped at Psalms 23 and just gone to the first verse? If God is your shepherd, your Heavenly Father, your shepherd, a good shepherd, what does a good shepherd do? He leads sheep to pastures that they can eat in and do all these things. If God is a good shepherd, a good provider, he will always lead you as his sheep into the great places to eat and graze and lay down and sleep or whatever you need, or by streams where you can drink and stuff. It's his job to provide for every one of your needs. In your household, if you're an earthly father, you need to sometimes acknowledge openly in front of your kids, hey, I'm dad, and yes, I have a job, and I try my best to provide for our earthly needs, but you know what? Ultimately, every good gift I have comes from my Heavenly Father. I can only give you what God has given me to give. And if ever there's not enough, we turn to God, and we ask him to provide. And you remember the story from last week with George Mueller. No food for the orphans, 300 kids, but they sit down and they pray and God provides miraculously milk and bread and everything they need for all those hundreds of kids. Our God is a God that provides. We need to remember that. Now, he doesn't provide always for trips to Disneyland. He doesn't provide for the brand new Escalade that we might want or whatever it is, but all of your needs and all of those things you have to have for godliness, he provides every one of them. I love that. How I want to end this is simply in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, we see the birth of the church that we're now in. The birth of the early church. And in this section of scripture, the Holy Spirit is poured out. That was a promise of God. The Holy Spirit was a promise of God. Salvation is a promise of God. And in all of these areas, this promise of God, Peter says to them in chapter 2, verses 38 through 40, he says that this promise is for your children and for all of them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. He begins to say all of this because in real terms, a father must pass on the promises of God. A father must pass on the promises of God and must speak those promises of God to their kids. This is important because you can't pass on what you don't have and what you don't know. So dads, let me ask you this. Do you know the promises of God even for yourself? If you don't know them, how can you pass them on? You've got to plant that seed, that word, in your heart, and you have to hold on to it. And you have to remind yourself, go to the word often, remind yourself of it. But then don't stop there, pass it on. How do we do this? I see two great examples, like that one there. You stand and you proclaim, these promises are for everybody. And then you begin to see the examples in scripture, like in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 and 21, It kind of reminds the New Testament reader, reminds us that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and by faith Jacob, who was later named Israel, he, while he was on his deathbed, so to speak, he blessed everyone, all of Joseph's sons, and worshiped. And I look at that and I think, here's the example for us today. You as a father have to be able, freed up, to speak the promises of God over your kids. This is good. This is very good. So here, Mikey, come on up here for a quick second. Come on up here. All right, I'm going to play like I don't have a boy, but we're going to say you're my son, okay? I'd be so lucky. All right, come on up here, man. Come on up here. So, you know, if I, like the bad example father at the very beginning, speak things over you like, ah, that day that we spent all day together, it was just a waste of my time. I'd rather have been making deals. What did I just speak over my kid? I didn't speak the promises of God. I spoke things that were wrong over his life. Now, what if I was like the other dad who said, son, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you 1 hour of my time every single day, 365 days for this next year. That's your time. Whatever you want. I'm at your beck and call. Now that speaks something else. You're valuable. You're worthy. I love you and I want to spend my time with you. This begins to speak things over him. Now see, you may not have an actual father able to do that. Maybe sin's corrupted their hearts and their minds. You don't have that dad doing that. But your heavenly father is always going to be there. And Mikey knows this. Your heavenly father speaks things over you. He says things like, oh, Mikey, I created you. I created you with wonder and love. You know, that's what the psalmist says. What fearfully and wonderfully I created you in the depths of your mother's womb. And so now he says over Mikey, he says, and Mikey, it's like the Holy Spirit, the Father's voice keeps whispering to him, I have great plans for you, Mikey. But how blessed is it? Think of yourself. If you're a dad in this room, what an honor it is to be the incarnate voice of God. You get to speak over someone's life. So then I get the pleasure. Okay, Holy Spirit, now I'm going to speak over Mikey. Mikey, God loves you. Mikey, God has a great plan for your life. And you know what? You are going to do great things in God. And I'm so confident of that. I'm not worried. And I look at you and I see someone who's got so much wisdom and the Spirit of God inside of him. You might be small in stature, but I look at you and I call you Mighty Mike, don't I? I have all these names for you that just say things like, you're a conqueror, you're an overcomer, and whatever the world wants to do to destroy you, that's nothing, because greater is God inside of you than anything out there, man. You are an awesome man of God. And you know what? You are going to be so blessed. I sit here and I think of him and I say, you're going to find happiness in levels and in ways that you've never imagined. Why? Because I know our Heavenly Father wants to do all this good stuff over you. See, now, I don't know. How does this make you feel?
Crying.
I'm sorry, man. Am I hurting you? You know why there's tears in your eyes? Because anytime a man speaks promise into someone else, speaks the promises of God into someone else, you're doing God's work and God does something wonderful. So now as a dad, your greatest act is not getting a job or not being the best fisherman in the world. It's what you do in all of the in-between times. Speak the promises of God to the next generation. You've got to know them, and you've got to not be quiet. You got to share them at every opportunity you can. And start when they're young. And start when they're young, and then don't stop. Why? Because you are often the only voice speaking the promises of God. So don't let anything stop you. So start talking that up all the time. Amen? So, as a father, love you, dude. Get out of here. And stand with me today. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name. And my challenge to you, if you're a man in this room, you may not have earthly kids that you're own, but if you're a man in this room, I want you to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Take up your role. Be a father spiritually to someone, and find someone today where you can speak the promises of God into them. Amen? Heavenly Father, we celebrate that all of your promises are not just for us personally, but those promises are for everyone else, our children and our children's children, and not just our biological kids, but all of the kids that you've created, those that don't even have their biological dads, those that are basically orphaned in this world. Lord, we know that you are a father to the fatherless, and now we are your mouthpiece. And so right now, I just ask that a spiritual impartation take place, that every man in this house not just be a biological father, but be a spiritual father. We don't need babysitters. We don't need many babysitters. We need fathers who will impart life and speak promise. And so I speak that over you today. If you're a man in this room, that you are now a mouthpiece of God's promises. Bless people. Speak those promises into people's lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you're blessed this Father's Day. Have an awesome day. Oh, my sin was black as night.